Thank you for reading. May the Lord add his blessing to this, the reading, even responsively, of his holy word. Now, oftentimes, when we come to Luke 15, we group all three of the parables of lost things together. But this morning, I don't want to do that for a couple of reasons. One, the characterization of the lost thing in the first two parables and who looks for it and searches for it is much different than the parable of the prodigal son. That the father doesn't go out and search. And so we're going to take that separate and look at the first two this week, and then next week we'll look at the parable of the prodigal son or the lost son. But this week we want to look at these two parables. There are few things as dreadful as realizing that something has been lost. A few months ago, my wife, it was July to be exact, Janine lost her wallet. She realized it was missing when she went to check out at BJ's and realized that her BJ's card was not in her purse. So she retraced her steps to no avail. Her stomach sank. She finished her transaction, went home, called the other places that she had been that day, also to no avail. She wept as she canceled her cards and replaced her license. She called BJ's again. She called the other stores again. No avail. She wondered, was it lost? Was it stolen? Was it misplaced? Now, I understand because there's a little bit of whispering going on. Maybe I didn't get the details exactly correct. That's how I remember it as an outside observer. There was no crying. Oh, there was more crying. There was crying at BJ's and at the Dollar Tree. Then, this week, Tuesday, maybe?
Wednesday.
BJ's calls our house. We have a wallet that's been found. It's 7 months later. And yet, we rejoiced. This is awesome. I wonder what happened. Strange. We did everything we could, but someone found it. Let's all celebrate. We didn't throw a party or anything, but still. The feelings associated with losing something are universal, and so are the feelings associated with finding it after you've lost it. If you ever lost keys or children at the mall, you know how terrible it feels to lose something. And then how elated you are when you find it. And that's the emotion that Jesus is evoking in these two short parables that we have before us. The first thing we notice in both of these accounts is that something has been lost. In the first parable, it's a lost sheep. This sheep is one of 100. It would be probably, considering that flocks of that day are said to have been between 20 and 200 sheep. So this particular person has 100, which is on the better than average, probably. Losing one, you know, there's shrinkage, there's The cost of doing business. You might understand, well, I got 99. But Jesus attaches emotion to it. Jesus decides that this parable would be about this lost sheep that was cared for, intended to, and it has wandered off into dangerous places. The wilderness, the wooded areas, among the stones and rocks and wild animals. The second parable talks about a lost coin. It is one of 10. It is a denarius, which would have been a day's pay. Not a lot, but not a little either. Not something like, oh, I lost $1,000. But not like I lost a dime either. And it's misplaced, if we read verse 9, by the woman herself. In verse 9, she says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." And literally what it says is, "I have lost the coin I lost. I have found the coin I lost." It's been misplaced by this woman. Now, parables have deeper meaning. Not everything connotes and connects to something else. But these main broad strokes mean something. The lost sheep means something. The lost coin means something. And they represent the lost soul. The lost individual. The person that, like the sheep, has wandered off, was in the fold, but has wandered off into dangerous places. They are lost. They are about to be devoured by a wild animal. They are about to be destroyed. Or they are the lost coin, separated through ignorance. That the coin is lost because it is disregarded. Not accounted for, not treasured. And there are some that walk among us that are not counted. They slip through the cracks. They're with us one day and then they're gone the next. And we wonder, what happened to that person? Where did they go? Where have we misplaced our attentions? People all around us are lost, wandering through dangers they are unaware exist. They are separated from the Good Shepherd. People all around us have become lost, dropped, discarded into dark corners. They have not been told the good news. The second thing we see here in this passage is that someone has been searching. In the first parable, the parable of the lost sheep, there's a man who goes out sacrificially. He leaves the 99 sheep, either with neighbors or leaves them alone. And he goes out and searches the rough places until the sheep is found. And then carries that sheep back. alive and well, on his shoulders, bears the weight of that separation. I will make sure you make it back. I will make sure you find your way home. There's a woman who goes and searches thoroughly. She lights a lamp. She sweeps the entire house. She makes a careful search, looking everywhere. She does not give up. She recognizes her loss, and she does anything required to find it. Now again, those who search represent someone. Just as those who are lost represent something, those who search represent something. And they represent the Lord and his followers. As Jesus is teaching about discipleship, as he's teaching about who will follow him, if you don't do this, you cannot be my disciple. If you don't do this, you cannot be my disciple. What does a disciple do? A disciple follows the Lord and says, I am willing to suffer and sacrifice for the sake of the lost sheep. Who says, I am willing to be steadfast for the sake of the lost coin. I will go wherever, whenever, however it takes to find the lost. God thinks the deserving are worthy. God thinks the lost are deserving of a sacrifice and a thorough search. And we are the ones who are called to leave our comfortable confines of this community and go out for the wanderer. We are the ones who are called to shine the light into the darkness, to reach the discarded. Thirdly, somewhere there is a celebration. Something's been lost. Someone searches. And somewhere there is a celebration. Jesus at this point tips his hand and says, the man celebrates with his friends and neighbors. Chances are the sheep were with them. And he says, look, I found my sheep, and my sheep is perfectly fine. Come, celebrate with me. The woman celebrates. She calls her friends and neighbors and says, look, I lost a coin, and now I've found it. Isn't that great? And then Jesus says, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one who is found than over 99 who do not need to be found. There is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. A sinner. One who misses the mark. One who errs. One who trespasses. One who transgresses. One who goes over the line. And acts in willful disobedience to God. When they repent, when they change their mindset, when they turn from the ways that they were living to the ways of Christ. In her book, The Art of the Public Grovel, Susan Wise Bauer offers a helpful distinction for us. An apology is an expression of regret. I am sorry. I regret this happened. A confession is an admission of fault. I am sorry because I did wrong. I sinned. The second, not the apology, but the confession, is a sign of a repentant heart. I am sorry because I was wrong. I overstepped. I transgressed. I trespassed. I erred. I missed the mark. There's more rejoicing over a sinner who repents than over 99 righteous who do not need to repent. This describes the joy of the heavenly places for someone who turns their life around, and it doesn't diminish in any way the love that God has for those who are already resting in His forgiveness. We ought not to be saying to ourselves, 99's enough. We ought not to be saying to ourselves, why does the new guy get so much attention? Why does this girl who has made so many bad choices get all the attention? It's because when someone changes their lives, like we have changed our lives, when we recognize that there is a way that is better than our own, and it is the way of Christ, we rejoice that anyone chooses to embrace it. There will be rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one who repents. The inhabitants of heaven are glad when one person turns away from sin. And the inhabitants of earth ought to be equally elated. Followers of God are expected to be festive. We can experience a little heaven here on earth by rejoicing over sinners who repent. But will we? The reason Jesus shared these parables is because of the two verses that I skipped at the beginning. Tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. And the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around Jesus to hear him. Can you imagine? Undesirables and derelicts, double dealers, associating with a renowned, a popular, charismatic teacher of the scriptures. That's why the Pharisees and the scribes, as the NIV puts it, mutter. What they're really doing is grumbling and complaining. Grunting. In this teaching of Jesus, of these two parables and the third, creates a dichotomy. Are we to grumble over a sinner's proximity to Christ? Or are we to be glad that that sinner can be pardoned? Our sermon in a sentence is this: rejoice in the Lord, for he recovers the lost. Sometimes we need to be reminded of the truth found in Scripture that Jesus recovers, finds, makes whole, makes right what has been lost. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We were and are the lost sheep. We were and are the lost coin that has been found and celebrated. Rejoice in the Lord that he recovers the lost. Do not grumble about the sinner near the Savior. Go out and search for the lost, bringing them back into the fold. Rejoice in the Lord, for he recovers the lost. Shall we pray?